Coming up on The Source, a preview of the upcoming Texas legislative session. Two Bexar County lawmakers are gearing up for their days in Austin to craft a budget and shape new laws for Texans. Republican Representative Lyle Larson of District 122 was on a mission to keep the state on a conservative course.
And I think that controlling government growth and looking back and changing the architecture, when you lose your idealism, then you don't need to serve in the legislature.
Democrat Representative Mike Villarreal of District 123 is going to Austin in a political minority, but still looking to be a major part of the legislative process.
Certainly the Democrats are very enthusiastic. We just picked up half a dozen seats.
We'll hear what the two local lawmakers are looking to accomplish in the 83rd Texas Legislature, but first, the news.
The Source is made possible in part by a grant from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.
This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. The legislature meets in regular session on the second Tuesday in January of each odd-numbered year. The Texas Constitution limits the regular session to 140 calendar days, and in that time, the 150 representatives and the 31 state senators are required to produce a balanced budget. In the 2011 session, the ledge started out in the hole, dealing with a multi-billion dollar deficit, and ended up seeing over $5 billion cut from the state's public education budget. The 2013 session isn't so financially grim, but battles over the budget are still expected, with conservatives committing to keeping taxes low. We're going to hear from Democrat State Representative Mike Villarreal later in the program, but first, let's check in with Republican State Representative Val Larson about his expectations for the coming session.
Well, the mood's a lot better than it was going into last session. We had to cut $15 billion of spending. Our revenues at the state level have picked up quite a bit from 2 years ago. Our oil and gas revenues have grown about 50% a year the last 2 years. And then also our sales tax collections have exceeded the month-to-year exceedance every month for the last 18 months, and we're running at about 11% increase in sales tax projections. We still have a lot of issues that we deferred on, both Medicaid and education, that could account for as much as $8 to $9 billion. But like I said, the mood is better than it was 2 years ago.
And what are your specific goals? What are you going to try to achieve in this session?
Well, my focus sitting on natural resources is water. And I've traveled all over the state meeting with river authorities, groundwater districts, and large public utilities for the last year. And looking at the drought of 2011, I think that the alarm did go off for the state. We have record lows in inventory, both in groundwater and in surface water. And we need to develop projects to sustain the growth that we've got economically. It's going to be based on whether we do something. And there are a lot of innovative ideas as far as harvesting brackish water in aquifers all over the state, bringing water in from states that are contiguous to ours, start storing water underground so we don't have 50% evaporation. And then some projects that have been on the drawing board for a number of years. Hopefully, the state will drive and facilitate some of these projects along with the local jurisdictions.
Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst has said that he's interested in maybe tapping into the rainy day fund to help fund some of these projects. Do you think that's going to gain traction?
It will. I've been talking about it for a year of taking $1 billion out of the rainy day fund, working with the Water Development Board. They've indicated that if we created a revolving fund, a water infrastructure fund, we would be able to hopefully build out about $8 to $9 billion worth of projects over the next 25 years.
I've read that you are looking at ways to limit perceived federal overreach in Texas in this upcoming session. How are you doing that?
The big issue a lot of folks have is the National Defense Authorization Act, and basically it allows the federal government to come in and secure somebody that they suspect is involved in any groups in terrorism. It's a very subjective call. They can indefinitely incarcerate you without charges. And the issue is it violates the Texas Constitution and the U.S. Constitution. The focus is if you have probable cause, then go through the process, read them their rights, and use the mechanisms we have in place in the judiciary to investigate them and then prosecute them. But just to hold them indefinitely, if you've got a government that maybe not be friendly to a certain group and they want to persecute you, this gives them a lot of latitude without having the power of the Constitution encumbering them from subjecting you to indefinite incarceration.
Now, I also read that you are proposing a bill that would require a state government official. If he goes out of the state for non-state business, then he would be required to repay the state for security expenses.
Yeah, the security and the transportation. I think a lot of heightened awareness about the costs when Governor Perry ran for president, it cost us an estimated $3.7 million. He was not conducting state business. Other states have done this. South Carolina, Nikki Haley, she reimburses the state any travel or security when she's doing campaign functions within the state of South Carolina or outside of it. And so it just, you've got campaign money that you can reimburse the state if you're traveling and it's not directly involved in state business. And I think that's what most people sort of expect, that we should be reimbursed for things that are not germane to the state. And going forward, that's the focus. If this bill passed, it'd be in effect September 1, 2013. There's only a couple of statewide elected officials that have a security detail. But it includes travel, too, if you're using a state plane and there's not any state business being conducted that you would reimburse the state for. A lot of states are already doing it, and a lot of my constituents contacted me during the interim and have asked, something needs to be done so people aren't just wasting taxpayers' money traveling and we're paying for security and transportation that has nothing to do with the state.
One proposed bill that has raised some eyebrows is that you want to alter the rules for in-state tuition for higher education and making it that a person has to be a legal resident in order to receive that, right?
Yeah, the issue is the DREAM Act. If you look at 2001 when it passed, we had a 12% increase in our budget. And then the subsequent year, we had a 12.7% increase in our budget. And that could be handled fiscally back then, but we've made some dramatic changes and cutbacks in our budget process, and we simply can't afford it. And the second part of it is, if you look at folks that are from Mexico that apply to University of Texas or A&M or any community college, they have to pay three times the tuition rate that someone that's in state. The same for somebody that's in a state contiguous to Texas or any state in the United States, they pay three times the tuition rate. So intuitively, you would think that if folks want to save a lot of money, all they have to do is sneak their kids in for their sophomore, junior, and senior year in high school, and they're not going to pay three times the tuition rate. We don't require a documentation when we take them into our schools, K-12. That's a federal law that you have to educate them, but it doesn't mean that you have to give them a preferential tuition rate at the collegiate level. My concept is just the state should not be involved in that decision. If the folks at University of Texas or A&M or community colleges make a decision that they want to allow a preferential tuition rate for folks that are in state but are illegally in this country, then let them make that decision. The state shouldn't mandate it. And if you look at the model of UTEP, they give preferential tuition rates for the 10 counties contiguous to El Paso and New Mexico, and they're able to do that. And I think that the state ought to just get out of mandating that they have to provide this preferential in-state tuition for folks that are here illegally. Let the colleges and universities make those decisions independent of the state.
It sounds like you've got a busy session coming up.
Yeah, got a lot of things going on. I think when you lose your idealism, then you don't need to serve in the legislature. And I think that controlling government growth and looking back and changing the architecture and some of the sacred cows that have been in place, you're not willing to challenge some of that, then that's when you probably ought to go back to the House. So I do have an aggressive posture, but most of it's coming from constituents and requests that they made.
Lyle Larson is a Republican and a state representative for District 122 in Bexar County. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll hear from Democrat State Representative Mike Villarreal. Stay tuned. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. In January, the state legislature convenes in Austin to create a new budget and consider new laws. We just heard from Republican Representative Lyle Larson of Bexar County. Up next, Democrat Representative Mike Villarreal.
I have to say that at the start of every legislative session, certainly the Democrats are very enthusiastic. We just picked up half a dozen seats and won a really critical state Senate race in Fort Worth with the reelection of Senator Wendy Davis. That's going to allow us to have more balanced approach this coming session. It protects our ability to keep really bad bills from hitting the Senate floor. And so that's important.
So the Republicans no longer have a supermajority, so they can just suspend the rules whenever they felt like and be able to get a lot more done on their their agenda.
Yeah, we passed a critical line, which is at least 50 members in the minority party. We have 56. That means that the Republicans have less than 100 votes. That prevents them from stopping the process and suspending all the rules to do whatever they want to accomplish. That is important to all Texans, because when you have a competition of ideas, when you have debate and deliberation by diverse voices and perspectives, you end up arriving at better policy. You compromise. You listen to the other side more attentively. And so this coming session, we're going to have a little bit more balance. We certainly like more, but I do think over the long run, the state is moving in the right direction of becoming a more two-party state.
The number one job of the legislature is to balance the budget and to create a budget that is balanced, at least on a paper. So let's look at the numbers. What do you expect to happen in the next legislative session? Last time we saw that education and social services paid a heavy price.
Yeah, this coming session, I think the good news is that we are out of the recession. Our economy has come back stronger than it was. We still have more recovery to do, certainly, but we're in a better place, and our budget balances reflect that state. Number one, we have approaching $9 billion in our rainy day fund. And number two, we have at a minimum $4 billion more in our general revenue fund. These are funds that can go to any area of state government, and they exist because the comptroller underestimated how much money would be available for us when we arrived in January. So we're going to have more money than expected. And so the legislature is going to have to decide what our priorities are. I would argue that in a state like ours, with such a large child population, and certainly in an economy that's global, where we're competing with not just surrounding states, but countries around the world, we need to be investing in the future, and that means investing in our children's education. So I'm going to continue to fight for the state to play a more responsible role, better partner with our school districts in providing resources so that they can make smart investments in things like pre-K. In fact, my first bill this session during the pre-filing has been the requirement that we fund our pre-K program. We know from our own numbers, from our own children in the state, those kids that receive pre-K outperform the kids that don't. And not by a little. by a lot. We're talking kids who receive pre-K. When they get to third grade, 40% less of them are failing their reading exam or their math exam. And by double digits, those kids who receive pre-K are achieving the highest levels of success in these exams. And so we need to be smart and strategic about how we invest our limited education dollars. They need to go to areas where we get the biggest bang for our buck. And let me tell you, that is pre-K.
So something similar to what San Antonio passed, the pre-K for SA, but on a statewide basis, the state would pay for full-day pre-K system across the state.
That's correct. How would it work with our local initiative? Our local initiative is much more flexible. Our local initiative does not cover all children. And so if we were to accomplish this at the state level, I could imagine the local initiative expanding the outreach to kids who were previously left out. And so we would include them in this really important and proven way of boosting student performance.
Now, there is a school finance lawsuit or lawsuits that are happening simultaneously, there's the expectation that the legislature is going to have to do something about school finance reform either during this session or maybe later a special session with the conclusion of those lawsuits. So what are you thinking?
I believe that we're not going to see any major changes in formula funding this coming session. My sense is the mood is let's wait and see what the courts tell us to do. My sense of history also tells me that the legislature does not act until the Supreme Court weighs in and tells us we're going to close your schools unless you change your ways. It unfortunately always has to come to that.
The Affordable Care Act, which some people call Obamacare, many states are expanding their Medicare programs to take advantage of that, but not in Texas. Is that something that could come up in the legislative session?
It certainly will. It's an issue that needs to be discussed, debated. There's a lot at stake. We're talking 100. If my memory serves me correctly, I want to say it's about $100 billion over 10 years. The federal government pays for 100% of the bill. For 3 years, after year three, their obligation drops, but it only drops down to 90%. So we have to pay for just 10% of the bill. What this will mean for our fellow neighbors, our family members in the state of Texas who are uninsured, they're going to have access to health insurance. We lead the nation in the number and certainly the percentage of residents who do not have health insurance. That doesn't mean they don't receive care. It means that we're caring for them in the most expensive and inhumane way, and that is letting them get as sick as they can get, and then they go into the emergency room where their care is paid for with property tax dollars. And so I think this proposal, if you haven't gotten a sense already where I stand, is a strong proposal. The state should expand its Medicaid program. We can solve a huge societal problem of fellow Texans being ill and receiving the most expensive care in our ERs, rooms. Also, if we don't do it, the rest of the act is in place. And so individuals in Texas are going to still be required to go out and purchase health insurance. Going to be less accessible, it's going to be more expensive, and if they don't, they will have to pay a tax. So it doesn't make sense for us not to participate in this national program that most likely all other states are going to participate in. We need to figure out a way of making this happen. I think part of the hesitation is wanting to tailor the Medicaid program. If that's truly the case, if it's just not sort of a ideological fight that the governor wants to pick with the Obama administration, then fine, let's figure out a way of negotiating with Washington so that we can put in place some tailored policies. Like, I know some of my colleagues would like to see Medicaid include a personal payment so that when you go see a doctor, you pay at the window some nominal amount. If that's what it takes, then let's enter into negotiations to get a waiver to put that element in our program. But it would be really short-sighted to not take advantage of this $100 billion because we will still pay our federal taxes. Those funds just won't come back to us to care for our people.
There have been some people who have observed and said it's very practical for Texas to get with the program with the Affordable Care Act. It would save money and provide care and be better overall for the quality of life for the residents of Texas. But we have certain politicians in Texas who have dug in their heels and made public statements. And we have to, if we can figure out a way to allow these politicians to save face and still make this happen, that there would be a willingness to allow that.
Sure. Yeah, I agree. Whatever it takes. If we need to figure out a way of letting our governor save face for prior statements, then let's figure out how to do that. In the end, the main goal is the health and security of our fellow Texans, and we need to figure out how to adopt the right policies that ensure for their health. I think the Affordable Care Act is the best option on the table, and we need to be willing to work with federal government to negotiate adjustments, have it be more tailored for Texas. But that's really where we should be spending our energy.
Mike Villarreal is a Democrat and the state representative for District 123 in Bexar County. We heard from Republican Representative Lyle Larson earlier in the program. The session begins at noon on Tuesday, January 8th. It lasts for 140 days, and the final session day is Monday, May 27th. You've been listening to The Source on KSTX. Wayne Coble is the TPR program director. Chris Udaly is our web producer. Paul Flab is in charge of TPR operations. We get production help from Catherine Dixon. I'm David Martin Davies. Check us out online at tpr.org. The Source is a production of KSTX, Texas Public Radio.